Conservatives gathered in Orlando over the weekend for the annual Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC. A number of prominent Republicans spoke at the event, including former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and former President Donald Trump.
Hello, CPAC. Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me yet?
It was Trump's first speech since leaving office last month. He criticized many of President Biden's policies and laid out issues Republicans should campaign on to take back control of Congress and the White House. He and other speakers also continued to make false claims about the 2020 election results. The remarks came as Republicans continue to figure out what role Trump should have within the party following his loss to Biden and the January riot at the U.S. Capitol. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Should former President Trump play a prominent role in leading the GOP into the future, or would the party be better off with a quieter role for him? Do you want to see Trump run for president again in 2024, or do you want to see the torch pass to someone else? What issues do you think are winners for conservatives heading into midterm elections next year? And if you're a Democrat, what do you make of the state of the Republican Party today? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. Tim Hagel is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit about this event, CPAC. It's an annual gig. It's the conservative wing of the Republican Party generally considered. How does it fit into overall Republican politics?
Well, that's a little hard to say, and it does vary from time to time. A number of years ago, I met people were talking about how at one point Ron Paul was the darling of the CPAC event in, I think, 2011 or something like that. And so that was kind of a little bit more libertarian leaning group. This time it seemed to be more of a Trump leaning, which might be more like a populist kind of group, which sort of kind of goes along with the Ron Paul stuff too. But they tend to be a little bit different from what we would normally think of as establishment type Republicans, that they're more the grassroots folks.
And in 2016, we saw candidate Donald Trump skip out on CPAC, and some of the organizers of it criticized him for that. What do you think of this change now? 2016, he skips the event, goes on and wins the nomination and the presidency, of course. And this year, he is the main event at CPAC.
Yeah. Well, obviously, times change, and it's a big difference between if you're a candidate and as a candidate running as more or less an outsider. And I don't recall exactly what it was that Trump did that particular weekend or week back in 2016 or whenever. This time, of course, he's the former president and all of the baggage and history that goes with that. And so it's no surprise that a former president is a keynote speaker, and especially given the circumstances, and as your lead-in indicated, that he's still making comments along the lines of a stolen election and so forth, and that does tend to resonate with a certain group of folks, particularly his supporters, and so it's no surprise that he wanted to kind of, I don't know if piggyback's quite the right word there, but wanted to capitalize on that, especially given his comments along the lines of that he's not going to give up the fight, not just sort of fade away. And he's looking forward to, in particular, 2022, and kind of teased a little bit about 2024.
And there had been some reporting that former President Trump was considering splitting off into a separate party from the Republican Party. There's been some polling suggesting that some of his supporters would like to split off. Some polling suggesting that other Republicans would want to split off from a Trump-led Republican Party. Here's what President Trump had to say about that.
We're not starting new parties. You know, they kept saying, he's going to start a brand new party. We have the Republican Party. It's going to unite and be stronger than ever before. I am not starting a new party. That was fake news. Fake news, no. Wouldn't that be brilliant? Let's start a new party and let's divide our vote so that you can never win. No, we're not interested in that.
So Donald Trump, it sounds like he's all in with the Republican Party for now. How is that an important clarification, Tim, given that reporting that he was thinking of splitting off at one point?
Yes, I think it is. Actually, it's very important. It's probably the main bit of news, I think, to take away from that, aside from anything else he was saying. As you indicated, that there are certain Trump supporters who never really were happy with, again, the establishment side of the Republican Party. They didn't think that they fought hard enough. And that was one of the things, of course, that attracted them and even some people that weren't necessarily Republicans, but leaning conservatives, that they like Trump. And even though it became a bit of a joke that say, oh, well, he fights, you know, kind of a thing. Well, that really was an important criterion. On the other hand, you have more of the establishment type Republicans who really disliked Trump and were hoping to split off. And of course, there were some famously the never Trumpers, so to speak, that never did support Trump even after he became president. And so they would like to split off. And so you're going to have those tensions in the party, too. We see that from time to time in the Democratic Party, too, in terms of different wings kind of arguing with each other and sometimes becomes very, very vocal about it. But I think that the idea that maybe a Trump would split off like we saw. Well, maybe I shouldn't say we saw, but we know about in the Bull Moose Party back with Teddy Roosevelt and so forth, where basically splitting the Republican Party then guaranteed Woodrow Wilson and the Democrats a victory. And so it's smart to say, no, we're going to stick with the Republican Party and work with it rather than trying to form some new party.
We're talking to Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa, looking at the big CPAC conference over the weekend and the role of Donald Trump in the future of the Republican Party. You can join in with your thoughts on that issue at 800-642-1234. I want to give a listen to Florida Senator Rick Scott. This is speaking on Fox News Sunday, being asked if the Republican Party is the Donald Trump Party. Here's how he responded.
It's the voters' party. I mean, it always has been the voters' party. Let's go back to 2010 in my primary. Every Republican, I think, in the country had endorsed my opponent, and I won. I talked to President Trump about a week ago, and I told him, this is my job. My job is to help Republican senators win all across the country, and he made a commitment to me to help me do that. I believe he's going to be helpful, but I think other Republicans are going to be helpful.
And that is in contrast to Donald Trump's naming a bunch of senators and House members, especially those who voted in favor of his impeachment, and suggesting he would not, as Senator Scott said, he would not support them. How big a role do you see Donald Trump playing in races, especially with those who voted to impeach him?
You know, that's going to be an interesting question going forward, that my understanding, and I didn't look at this directly, I heard this from another analyst, that of the senators that got named, the Republican senators, there were seven, but only one of them is actually up for reelection in 2022. And so it may be, you know, Trump expressing his dislike and unhappiness that they didn't vote with him on the impeachment and conviction issues, whether it was in the House or in the Senate version of that. But, you know, whether he's going to go out and actively campaign or, you know, as opposed to simply saying, well, yeah, I support your opponent, whoever it is. But we know, and especially we know here in Iowa and the Midwest generally, that, you know, unless you actually get out there and start campaigning for the other person, it may not have that much effect. But we'll see what happens and how much Trump is going to continue to do that. And I think along those lines, in terms of Trump's future generally and how much sway he has in the Republican Party, it's going to make a big difference as to how he handles 2022, that to a certain extent he undercut his not authority, but his gravitas in all of this with what happened in Georgia. The fact that he, you know, continued to emphasize the presidential election results rather than focusing on trying to win those two Senate seats in Georgia. And as a result, they both went to Democrats and Republicans lost control. And I think that that hurt him with certain segments of the Republican Party that were at least willing to go along with Trump, even if they didn't like his style or his personality.
We're talking about this weekend's Conservative Political Action Conference in Orlando. Former President Trump made his first speech since leaving office. He criticized President Biden on border policies, school reopening timelines, and more. Tim Hagel is our guest, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Whether you're Republican or not, do you want to see the former president playing a big role in the Republican Party in the next 2 years? How about 4 years? Do you want to see him run for president again? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Tim, looking at the 2024 presidential race, I will not ask you to predict whether Donald Trump will run or not. I wouldn't ask anybody to predict that. But the fact that he's holding out this notion and keeping it open, what does that mean if I'm another Republican candidate wanting to start laying the groundwork for a presidential campaign, but not wanting to step on Donald Trump's toes and angering his supporters?
Yeah, and that's actually the precise problem that a lot of folks, you mentioned DeSantis and Kristi Noem, Governor Kristi Noem is another one, maybe Pompeo, a lot of folks that ran in 2016 that lost to Donald Trump that would like to have another shot at it. And you're right that if Trump wants to get in, that they probably would not. Now, I think probably you'd have a few people do so, but to some extent, could see a repeat of what happened to the Democrats in 2016, where Hillary Clinton basically cleared the field until Bernie Sanders kind of came on strong as the only opposition. Still, I think that Trump probably would have some opposition, and you could even have people that would say, look, I support Donald Trump's policies and in all of this, but he's reached a point where he's maybe too old to be president kind of a thing, approach to it. Now, that, of course, would depend on Trump's health at the time. If he's still vigorous and everything, it might be a harder sell. But yeah, the people still need to, if they're interested in it, they need to lay the groundwork. And it's from Trump's perspective that he can kind of put that tease out there to a certain extent. And that still gives him a little bit of power, that if he flat out says, no, I'm not running, then he kind of loses some of his cachet along those lines.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Michael with us in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me, Rob. Love the show. So I'm calling from a left-leaning perspective. I tend to vote Democrat and lean left with most of my positions. That being said, from my view, I think the most characterizing thing, or the most sort of distinguishing thing you can say about the modern Republican Party, both in Wisconsin and nationally, is party above all seems to be sort of the defining characteristic. They profess to be the party of the people while ignoring calls for, redistricting within the state or the legalization of marijuana that most people support. The Republican Party just seems to be party above all, with really a lack of integrity.
Michael, thanks for the call. A view from a critic of the Republican Party, of course, Tim, but what do you think of what Michael had to say, seeing the Republicans being a party above all party?
Well, that's partly the argument that some Republicans had been making as well, and why they split when you saw the impeachment in the House and the trial in the Senate, that you had a couple of Republicans that split and were considered traitors from the party. And that kind of was the idea that, well, you've got to go with the party, even if we don't like maybe some of the things Trump's doing. And other people said, no, that this is stuff that we wouldn't put up with a Democrat, so we shouldn't put up with it with a Republican. And that's kind of the fight that we're having. Although to a certain extent, that same argument can be had among Democrats, where often you don't see much in the way of dissent from the party line, whatever it happens to be. And that's kind of a function, I suspect, of the two-party system, where you have to some extent, stay with your party. And maybe you don't like it all the time, or don't like particular people necessarily. But if you don't stick with the party, then the other side wins. And this is maybe unlike what we see in some European countries, where you have a larger number of parties. And so those kinds of splits and so things can kind of form and reform, whereas we're pretty much stuck. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I kind of like the two-party system, but we're sort of in that thing where it's okay, either we're with our group and we can win some of the time, or if we're not with our group, and then we're going to lose a bigger chunk of the time.
Thanks for that call, Michael. I'm going to throw something at you, Tim, that's been on my mind lately. Talk about earmarks coming back. These special things that, hey, Congressman Rob, we know you're not with our party, but vote with us on this. You get a museum renovation in your district or whatever. And I've seen some people talk about, that being sort of a lubricant for cooperation and compromise. Without that, what are you going to do but vote with your party and not anger your party supporters if you can't get anything to show for it? Do you have thoughts on the possible return of these earmarks, Tim?
Yeah, you know, you're kind of hitting at that pro and con aspect to them, that on the positive side, you do have the possibility of maybe getting some more things done, peeling a few votes off from the opposition. And maybe especially in a time we've got now where both the House and the Senate are very evenly split, especially the Senate, of course, at 50-50 with the vice president casting deciding votes as necessary. The House is not that different, really. Democrats have a very slim margin. So you peel off a few Democrats Republicans can get something that they want. The problem is that then that's prone to abuse as well, where all of a sudden you're paying for what is usually termed pork barrel kinds of things that you don't have much use for. There was, famously a bridge to nowhere in Alaska, for example, but that's good for jobs in Alaska or good for, whatever kind of a job creating thing that brings money into your district. And so that's good because you're bringing home the bacon, so to speak, and, providing that kind of thing that you can talk about to your voters the next time you come up for re-election, which, of course, in the House is almost a constant thing these days. And so the pro and con, it got to the point where it was too much of a con, and so we got rid of them. But now it seems with Congress being almost in a perpetual stalemate that maybe you need to have some return to that. And maybe given that Republicans have, to some extent at least, gotten away from concern about the deficit and spending and so forth, although we're starting to see a little bit of that coming back, that maybe earmarks might be the way to go to kind of loosen things up a little bit and get more things done.
We'll have to do a whole segment on that so I don't keep throwing it into random conversations. We're talking to Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa, talking mainly about this weekend's CPAC convention and the role of former President Trump in the Republican Party. Back to your calls now. Frank is with us in Door County. Frank, hi.
Good afternoon. I'm looking at this from a pragmatic point of view of a Republican. Senator McConnell on the Senate floor more than chastised the president, then president, for his behavior and said and used the word not accountable. He was not held accountable yet. I would think that for those running for wishing to run for the presidency in the Republican Party, the yet is yet out there. For them, their best hope, as Senator McConnell then just went on and said that he would gladly support him as President Trump if he ran again, the dichotomy in the words. But he's the whole idea of being held accountable by the legal system that would take the former President Trump out of the equation for those who wished to run for presidency from the Republican Party. I think that that's McConnell's hope in some ways, that the yet comes down.
Frank, thanks a lot for the call. I mean, we don't know what's in Senator McConnell's head, Leader McConnell's head, Tim, but that possibility that due to circumstances beyond Mitch McConnell's control, if Donald Trump weren't able to run for president, it might not be such a bad thing for Mitch McConnell and like minds in the Republican Party.
Oh, exactly. And certainly that's a number of Republicans would certainly breathe a sigh of relief if somehow Trump were taken off the board. And it can be legal. We also don't know what's going to happen on the civil side of things, but we know that New York is looking into Trump's tax returns, that the court said that they can get a hold of those. And so we just don't know what's going to happen. But even aside from that, from any kind of legal challenge, there's still the voters. There are a number of Republicans that certainly are unhappy with even if they don't blame Trump specifically for kind of the riot that turned into a mob, violent mob attacking attacking the House, the Capitol. They're still unhappy with sort of the response and sort of what happened after that, kind of the whole sort of thing, and maybe don't want to revisit that. But on the other hand, if the voters are willing to get past that in a couple of years, and as McConnell said, well, if he's the nominee, then I've got to support him.
Thanks a lot for that call. Tim, in our last minute or so, what are you going to be watching for between now and, let's say, congressional midterm elections next year to see where the Republican Party is going, if they can suture up some of these splits?
Well, to some extent, it's going to depend on what happens in Iowa with the caucuses. But usually when we have caucuses in the midterm elections before a caucus, where we would think we're going to have an open election, is who comes to visit, who comes to help state legislators and the congressional candidates here in Iowa and else, and for other places that where you have districts that maybe are very competitive in one way or another. If you're having people, whether it's DeSantis or Pompeo or Noem or anybody else, or Nikki Haley is another one, if they're out there helping other people, then they're getting their name across, they're making friends, and those are the folks that you look to that maybe are going to have a run for the presidency. And of course, we still have to wait and see what Donald Trump does.
Tim, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us again today.
My pleasure.
That's Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. We talked to him about this weekend's Conservative Political Action Conference in Orlando and the future role of former President Trump in the Republican Party. Still time for you to weigh in with your thoughts on Twitter. Tweet us at Central Time WPR. Let us know what you think. Again, that's on Twitter at Central Time WPR.